The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Support for the show comes from John Maxwell Taylor's Gravida award-winning performance on the life of Swiss psychiatrist Carl Gustav Jung, now available in a stunning new 3D audio set. To learn more, please visit www.johnmaxwelltaylor.com.
From Spirituality and Health magazine, I'm Rabbi Rami, and this is Essential Conversations. My guest today is Israeli-born jazz trumpeter Avishai Cohen. Jazz Times calls him one of the most creative trumpet players in jazz, and the Downbeat Critics poll has ranked him a rising star for 4 years running. A review of his new CD, Into the Silence, appears in the March-April issue of Spirituality and Health magazine. Avishai Cohen, welcome to Essential Conversations.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. I wanted to start, before we get into the CD, I wanted to see if you could help me understand the power of the trumpet. So a few days ago, I was teaching in Phoenix, Arizona, and I had an opportunity to go to the Musical Instruments Museum.
And beautiful place, by the way, yeah.
I know. I was there for a while. I said, I don't want to leave. I haven't seen everything. The way this is set up, so our listeners have a sense of what we're talking about, is the museum's divided by continent and then subdivided by country. And as you walk through, you see the actual instruments that are indigenous to the various places. And then there's video that allows you to hear, see them being played and to hear what they actually sound like in their original setting. And you know, I'm walking through, and you get a clear sense, at least I did, and I'm going to ask for confirmation from you. I got a sense that instruments are, in many cases, an extension of the human body. I mean, so drums are an extension of the heart. The trumpet must be, and again, this is a question, but the trumpet must be an extension of the breath. And I'm wondering what the trumpet brings to you and what you bring to the trumpet vis-a-vis this, you know, the use of your breath.
Well, first of all, you know, it's not about right or wrong in this question. I think it's everyone takes it to whatever make them feel. A lot of people, actually, I heard them refer to the trumpet as the closest thing to the human voice, actually, and not
really?
The breath, which is also connected, you know. The voice and the breath is one in a way, and same with the trumpet. You know, you wouldn't have a sound without the breath and the air. And it's amazing when you play the trumpet, even though breathing is the most obvious element that every kid will tell you, of course you have to breathe, but as a trumpet player, it's one of those things that you tend to forget to do if you don't focus and you don't practice on always make sure you are connected to your breath at any given time, because you see so many other things when you play music that you are thinking of and aware of and concentrating on. It can be the music, it can be the harmony and the melody, it can be the vibe of the band, it can be the tone and everything, that sometimes the breath is being, since it's so obvious, it's actually being pushed aside. And for me, one of the biggest challenges as a trumpet player is to always remind myself to breathe. And the breath to me is always it's the beginning of everything, and it's the solution of everything too. And back to the question of what it brings to me, you know, it's I think as a human being, breathing is as important in the same way. People forget to breathe, you know. And I sometimes forget to breathe, or you realize you do a certain thing or certain thing that can otherwise bring you to a certain anxiety or stress. Same with the trumpet. Breathing is always can help you solve it, or at least get you in the direction, the right direction to solve it.
So, you know, it sounds, I mean, you could almost substitute the word meditation for the word trumpet in what you're saying. I mean, meditation is centered on the breath in I think almost every case. So do you find yourself when you're playing And I won't say every time. I mean, I don't want to make a blanket statement. Do you find yourself when you're playing in a meditative state?
It is very connected, and I have been practicing meditation as well. And in meditation, the same way, you always bring yourself back to the breathing, you know, to get centered and to get grounded. However, there's many other levels to it, you know. So I would say the breathing is kind of, it's the baby steps. Mm. However, without those baby steps, you cannot take it any further, you know. So it's always, like I said before, it's the beginning of everything. And yeah, to me, music, regardless of the trumpet, the way I play and how I think about music and how I think about being centered and grounded and present, it is very similar to meditation and the problem that occurs with it and the challenge and the struggle and the path that you go through are similar. The meditation is the whole process. Even it's that back and forth. It's overcoming that thing. It's accepting that state. It's accepting that, you know, accepting that no one is perfect either. And that's a big part of it.
So is there a specific kind of meditation you practice?
The Dzogchen I do, but I also read a lot from the Shambhala school. Mm-hmm. And one of the books that I always carry with me is the Tibetan book of the Living and Dying.
Sure. So very interesting. This sort of gives me a different insight into something you said in there's a short film about you on your website. And the website is AbishaiCohenMusic.com. There's this short, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but Charlie...
Misak,
okay. Mm-hmm. So Charlie Misak has this beautiful 2-minute-plus film. And you talk about having to forget everything you learned. And mm-hmm. this connects with the whole, you know, Trungpa Rinpoche and Buddhism and the Shambhala path, entering into that state of not knowing as this sort of liberating place where your music maybe, well, this is a question really, when you're in that state of not knowing, is that the place you find the music to be the most surprising?
I personally don't look at it as the place of not knowing, but I would rather say try not to go to the places you know.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you're in a place that you don't know, because... I think it's a little different, but freeing to me is when you are able to go to that breath, when you're too aware of the things you know. That means you play something that you maybe have played before. You go to places, you go to your comfort zone, you go to a place that has worked in the past and is probably going to work today as well, but it might not be so fresh anymore because it's all, you see it, you know. I see the outcome already, and if it's less interesting to me, it might be less interesting for the listener, even though the listener has not heard the first time I played it.
Right.
You know
right,
what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's just a place of... I think it's in a way a search for freedom, search for a real freedom. For me, there's some people that I hear that when I hear they're playing, it's liberating to me. I hear they're playing a certain freedom that's where I want to be, to know that everything can be possible at any given moment. For example, Wayne Shorter is like that, or Ornette Coleman was like that, where everything is possible, and you really are in the moment, you know. And to me, that's where I aspire to be. That's where I want to be. That's where I feel the music is the most natural and interesting. And I also think that this is where the music transcends the most, because I know when I'm playing and I feel the concert was, I was present, I see the reaction for people as well. I mean, people react also when I don't, you know, that's where sometimes you get to a level where even if you're not at your best, hopefully it still sounds good and people are reacting to that. You know, so I always think, like, for example, I go, I see Herbie Hancock and it's amazing playing, but I always think there's a chance that in his mind he's not having a good day, but he's so, he's playing so amazing that I don't even know, you know.
Right.
So
right.
I think we have to get to that place that it's not a difference of a day and night in that regard, you know. But when you are in that pure zone and really, what happens really is that when you're wearing your present and you let the ego go and you're not thinking about, oh, let me make that solo the most, we get to the peak of my life now with this solo and it's going to be, I'm going to play the fastest, the highest, the loudest, whatever it is that gets you, you know.
Yeah.
If you let those places go and you just focus on what the music need and what the whole, I never play solo. I always play with a group. So you have to think as a group and you cannot let the ego be part of it because it's going to get in the way of the group, not going to help the group.
You know, so as I'm listening to this and I'm imagining the people who are listening on the podcast, you're speaking about playing music, you're speaking about, you know, being a trumpeter, but you're also speaking more universally. And you have this, you say this in the movie, you say, and I'm quoting you from the little film, by playing who you are, there aren't really any mistakes possible. And that sort of took this into a whole other whole other dimension, because the freedom that you're talking about is not only free to, you know, I'm interpreting what you're saying, but it's not only the freedom to do something new and not just repeat what you've done, but also the freedom from the fear of doing it wrong. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. Yeah, I believe so. And there's always certain, I would say, limitations that you are working from. In music, you have forms and harmonies that going on and rhythms that going on that you're part of, and you always have to be within those forms. In as a human being, you also have a certain limitation. Now, when I say limitation, I mean limitations that one puts on himself to work within. And sometimes you let yourself break your own rules and grounds and forms. But what I mean by that is that when we say, we said in the movie, playing who you are, but if you talk universally and we just say by being who you are, there aren't any mistakes. There are still limitations that each one put on himself as far as what one wants to be. For example, if you decide, I'm going to be who I am, I'm a murderer, then that's a problem, because I think the limitation that we should put on ourselves as human being, we should be and create from a state of compassion. I decide to put compassion in my life as a ground rule. And, of course, work with it. And again, since sometimes I feel I'm doing better than other times, of course, like we said before, it's not a straight line. It's ups and downs. And sometimes you feel like you're failing yourself or you failing your path. But at least for me, I think this is what I look at, you know.
Yeah, and you have to have compassion on yourself when you even when you think you're failing. So let me
exactly.
We've only got a few minutes left, and I want to switch the conversation over to the new CD, Into the Silence. So the CD was composed during the 6 months following your dad's death, and that was when? When did your dad die?
Last November. So it's been a year and 3 months.
So we're in the same boat. My dad died last a year ago.
Oh, so, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I condolences to you as well. And I'm listening to the title track of the CD. So the CD is called Into the Silence. I'm listening to the track called Into the Silence. And I may be reading stuff into this, but and I am definitely not a trained, I have no trained ear on this. But the opening has somewhat of a discordant sound to it. And I was wondering if that is a reflection of the break you felt when your dad died.
Yeah, but I never knew how to put it in words, but it's definitely that sound is a reflection of I don't know if to say the broken feelings, but yeah, the that dissonance feeling from life, you know, that as much as you prepare for death and as much as you think about it, it's when you lose someone so close to you, it's not just hard, but it's there's a lot of questions that comes with it and a certain dissonance, you know, between the life and the death. So yes, I think you nailed it with that.
So I heard that right. Were you there with him when he passed away?
I just landed at that moment. I was there about 20 minutes later. I was next to him, but I actually missed it in a way with departure. I was landing when he departed, so we could have crossed paths on the way.
He's going up, you're coming down, yeah?
Exactly.
So has the CD helped you with the grief process?
I never thought about it like that. I don't know if it helped me with that. No, I'm not sure. It was part of it, and maybe unconsciously did. What helped me more was sharing that process with my mom, of course, but my brother and sister were also an amazing musicians, and we're very close. We play together, we tour together, and just to this whole first year to be together, let ourselves mourn, and we didn't have to pretend and be strong for one another. We just were in it together. And
you could be yourself.
Yeah, that was, I think, the most helpful.
We're just about out of time, and I just want to say one quick thing so you hear it from me personally. When I was listening to the CD, it gave voice to some of the things that I was feeling. And you know, you started by saying, you know, some people think the trumpet is an extension of a voice as well as breath. And so just to bring that full circle, it really did give voice, especially that the title track. It really did give voice to what I was personally feeling with the death of my dad. So I wanted to thank you with that. And we're going to have to leave it with that also. My guest today was jazz trumpeter Avishai Cohen. His new CD, Into the Silence, is reviewed in the March-April issue of Spirituality and Health magazine. Avishai, thank you so much for the CD, actually, and thank you so much for being with us on Essential Conversations.
My pleasure. Thank you for your time as well.
Support for this week's edition of Essential Conversations is provided by John Maxwell Taylor's Gravida Award-winning performance on the life of Swiss psychiatrist Carl Gustav Jung. The performance is entitled Forever Jung, and it's now available in a deluxe 3-CD audio set. To learn more, please visit johnmaxwelltaylor.com. Essential Conversations with Rabbi Rami is a project of Spirituality and Health magazine. Visit spiritualityhealth.com and subscribe to the magazine in either print or digital formats, and download the iTunes app for this podcast. Essential Conversations is produced by Ezra Baker, and our program coordinator is Alma Tassi. I'm Rabbi Rami. Thanks for listening.
Since 1977, Omega Institute in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley has hosted some of the best spiritual teachers and social visionaries sharing their messages of hope, healing, and transformation. On the Dropping In podcast, hosted by Emmy Award-winning producer Callie Alpert, you will enjoy in-depth interviews and conversations with people like Pema Chodron, Jack Kornfield, Jon Kabat-Zinn, and many others on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Also, check out the video series on Spotify.